Get ready to rock radio, music you want to hear.
If we talk about live performance, we should tell listeners that the latest anthology collection released in 2015, you cover a lot of ground in terms of versions that you've performed with your own band over the years, so listeners will be able to hear some of those classic songs.
I think it's all the classic songs. You know, as I said in the liner notes, I didn't want to, and they weren't available to me to use the Man from Mars Earth Band cuts, because that would be stupid. There's enough Man from Mars Earth Band compilations around, so they had to be live tracks, and I was lucky enough to have a really good radio show that we did in Berlin, and I was lucky enough to have the multi-tracks, because it was all done on Pro Tools, you know, it was recorded on Pro Tools, so I was able to go back and remix it, and so it made sense to me. I mean, I couldn't have done a compilation without those tracks, obviously, and without, you know, and I think the band, my band, we've been together for 14 years now. I think, you know, we've injected our own things into them, but they're basically the Man from Mars Earth Band arrangements with embellishments and obviously different players. So, you know, it made sense for me to put on all those live tracks, and I hope people understand that it's not, you know, but I also think they're better. I think they sound better than the original things. I think they've got more energy, and I think that, you know, I like them better. I mean, you'll probably find that the fans will disagree with me about that, and that's fine. But, you know, it's like the version of Blinded, which isn't live, which is a totally, totally different version that I did with the old drummer from Man from Mars Earth Band, John Lingwood. We kind of wanted to do something different with Blinded, so we did something totally different with it. And that's on, you know, that's the only one that doesn't represent, although at the end of the song it does, it goes back to the original riff. So, you know, but I think the main things are, you know, people will recognize them as the Man from Mars Earth Band versions plus.
Yes, supercharged.
Supercharged.
Now, we've just reviewed Manfred Mann's Earth Band at the Giants of Rock Festival in the UK. It took place mm-hmm. only a week or so ago as we speak. Mm-hmm. And our reviewers were a little bit disappointed, actually. I think this underlines that sometimes, for various reasons, you just can't get the magic back, perhaps. But maybe they weren't match fit, Chris, but I think one of the things that you've demonstrated over the years, and it certainly reflected on this current anthology, is the fact that you've been constantly gigging. It's a hellishly tight band, isn't it?
It really is a fantastic band. I'm so lucky. So lucky. I mean, you know, they're fantastic, and they, you know, we've played a lot of shows, and funny you say about match fit, because I spend my whole life is geared around keeping match fit, because, you know, I'm it's not like I'm on the road for 3 months and I come off. You know, I'm doing, you know, I do 3 or 4 dates here, and then, you know, we have a couple of weeks off, and then 3 or 4 dates there, pretty much like all bands of our genre do now. And you know, it's a constant battle for me to stay match fit, but I'm determined to do it, because otherwise you can't give it 120%, you know, when you're there. And the last 3 gigs we did, you know, I worked so hard to be match fit for those, and, you know, we played 3 gigs just recently, and it was so much fun to be able to you know, to feel match fit, to be and to do it in a way that you know, I felt comfortable with, and I could really enjoy it. Because if you aren't match fit, you can't enjoy it. You're always worried about, you know, or shall I go for that note or shall I not? So it was really nice to know that I'd done enough work to be able to hit those high notes, as they say.
Ah, well, you mentioned, like, gigs in the UK. I mean, maybe that's a way back in with some of these increasingly these festivals are cropping up, and I'm sure you go down a you know, fantastic at some of these events. Although, of course, Chris, we have to say we'd like to see you in your own right on tour, but maybe that's to come in the next 12 months or so, fingers crossed. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'd love to do those festivals, the rock festivals that are there, and I'm going to get people to investigate, you know, how to do it and why to do it, because I think, but the problem I have is I'm not called Man from Mars Earth Band, you know. It's, I remember when I was on tour with Brian May, and we were playing in South America, opening up, I think it was Brian 52s, and it was Joe Cocker, bless his heart. And you know, and I remember coming off, it was one of those gigs where there's 35,000 people, but they're all coming in while you're playing. I remember Brian coming off the gig saying, "Oh God, it's so tough when you aren't called Queen." You know, and I know the feeling. You know, I can't be called Man from Mars Earth, and so it's like, you know, it's people will always go for the name, and that's the problem I find when we're doing gigs at the moment, is that Manfred's also gigging, so you know, it's difficult. There's only so much room for Man from Mars Earth Band stuff, and it is difficult, and you know, and he's playing an awful lot at the moment, so.
Yes, I'm sure
we shall overcome.
Exactly, I'm sure there's a way around that, and of course it would be wrong anyway to I think to push too much the Man from Man connection, because whilst it's important, Chris, we know you've done so much other stuff in your own right and with other people, really. So I think coming back to what you were saying earlier about this sort of intimate gathering of stories and songs, really, it could be quite good, couldn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think it would be good. I think it would be good, and if I could do that one time with, you know, with a small, either, you know, like I said, with a couple of musicians, and if it was successful, then we could come back with a band. So, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking really seriously about that, because I think it would, you know, I've got some interesting stories to tell about the music business, and
yes,
and some, of course, I can't tell, but I've got some pretty interesting ones.
And your band, coming back to your band, I mean, how come Norway then? What's going on there?
Well, the band was put together for me, really. It was Mads Eriksson, the guitar player. He did an album and I sang a couple of songs on that. He invited me to come and play, and I played with that band. And, you know, he invited me back, and then I thought, you know, this is fantastic. You know, so whenever I got a gig came up, I would, you know, bring them over. And it just kind of developed from there. But the music, I have to say, Norway has fantastic musicians, really, really does. It's really, you'd be amazed. I mean, England does as well, of course, but you'd be amazed at the width and breadth of Norwegian musicians and singers and guitar players, especially guitar players. It's incredible, really, and great saxophone players, fantastic drummers. I mean, it's just, it's amazing to me.
Yeah. It comes out on the album, because fantastic musicianship, as we'd hoped for. I was just wondering also, Chris, with the new anthology and in the capable hands of the Cherry Red group of labels, I mean, they're very good at searching out old stuff and doing a good job on the repackaging and the liner notes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any chance in the future we'll be seeing some of your solo albums released and, you know, remastered and you know, given a new lease of life?
I would say no to that. I think that my solo albums need to stay exactly where they are. I mean, I pulled, for the anthology, I pulled off what I considered to be the one standout track, which is Shift in the Wind. I pulled that out, and I think you have to believe me, Dave, I went back and I listened to everything that I'd done for this anthology. I went back and listened through everything, and there wasn't anything. And the other thing is, if I had the multi-tracks, then I would consider it. I would consider it, but I'm just dealing with two tracks. And we never had enough money when we were doing my solo records. They, you know, they were done in between Man from Man stuff and Man from Man's Earth Band stuff. And I just wasn't paying enough attention to what was going on and what I was doing, and you know, just, we never had enough money and we never had enough time to do it. So I think they deserve to be where they are, which is, you know, in people's collections, which are, you know, people like them and they bring them to the gig to for me to sign, and that's fine. But I, you know, I have to be honest to say that I don't like them. And I went back and listened to everything, and I think the one outstanding track which needed to be presented to the world was Shift in the Wind with Brian on it, and that's what we did.
I think listeners can be grateful then for this anthology. You know, it brings together a whole range of work, and you have put on some of those more interesting, you know, the more obscure tracks that you think merit inclusion.
I'm also very happy that I was able to do a acoustic version of Thunderchild, because obviously I can't put the original on record either. I don't have any rights to that. But I, Thunderchild is something that I'm very, very proud of, and working with Jeff was such a fantastic experience. And so, you know, I've played it a couple of times with the band and tried to play it on my own. So to get Chris Spedding to play it the way he did was wonderful. You know, it captured the essence of what that song is. And, you know, I was really happy that I was still able, you know, that I was able to do that. So there's things like that. And there's also a song called We Are the Strong that was, I never ever sang it, but I loved the song. So I did a version of that. You know, and there's a couple of new things that people haven't heard. So I think it's a very wide range of stuff that I really feel good about the songs that are on there. That's why when you ask me about other stuff, I say, no, I'd rather not have it, because I did listen to everything, and I think I put together what I consider to be a good representation of what I did. And there is one other song I would have liked to have put on it that I couldn't, because I don't have the rights to that at all. It was a song I did with Alan Parsons called Turn It Up. And, you know, I would have loved to have re-recorded that, because I really believed in that as a hit song. So, you know, it's over the years, you know, over the years. So that's the only regret, that I wasn't able to do that. But I think everything else I feel very, very happy about.
That's interesting, Chris. We've just spoken with Alan Parsons. What was the album that was featured on?
Try Anything Once.
Oh, gosh. Yes, that was one of his later albums, wasn't it?
I went out live with him on the first shows that he ever did live, and we made that album, Try Anything Once, and I really believed in that song, but nothing happened with it. And then we did some live stuff where I sang, you know, like High in the Sky and all that kind of stuff is on a live Alan Parsons album with me singing on it.
Yeah, well, we're going to be digging that one out as well. Now, talking of collaboration, you've mentioned on this anthology we have Brian May, we've got Chris Spedding. Mm-hmm. And I think this only goes to emphasise, Chris, that you're perhaps best known for your melodic and soulful vocal. Now, is this the vocal style you've always preferred? Or is it just a natural thing, really?
Well, I think it's probably what, naturally comes out of my mouth, I think. I think, you know, I've always been somebody, luckily enough, that I can get into the emotional content of the lyric. And I think because of that, and this goes back to when New Zealand, when I was interpreting so many different kind of songs, I was able to, you know, inject myself into the song. And I think that's where it came from, really. I mean, I just, you know, if I like the lyric and it's got an emotional content, then I'll kind of go towards that solely emotional quality that I have in my voice.
So it's more of a natural thing. But we should say that to those listeners who are not totally familiar with your output, I mean, especially, I think on the latest studio album, Toys and Dishes, there's a handful of rockers there, you know, especially, I think it's perhaps it's the last track on the album. It's not all emotional and soulful, is it, really?
No, I'm also, you know, that's what I was going to say. I also like seeing kind of AC/DC kind of songs. You know, I like doing that as well. But then they have an emotional quality of another kind. So, you know, I think, you know, I open my mouth and sing the song the way I hear it. And if it's high and stuff, it'll come out rocky. If it's lower and slower, I'll kind of get my emotional chops around it, I suppose.
This is Radio for the Internet Age. Get ready to rock radio.